Ramsey TV.
No, that's a good question, but I'm not always going to be purple. That's right. No, I'm going to switch it up for you. Some days I might be red, some days I might be yellow. I'm going to change the lighting here in Studio One. You'll have a different background every week, so variety is the spice of life. That's what we're going to do. I want to open today's show by thanking a viewer, Elaine Kelly, who sent me a gift in the mail. I want you to see this. This is so creative and so fun. It's a coffee mug, and it's Martin Zender, the second idiot in heaven, a beautiful, fun play on my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. I'd be happy to be the second idiot in heaven behind the Apostle Paul. That would be fantastic. She took the leaping Zender here from my book, Martin Zender Goes to Hell, and from my webpage. So, Elaine, thank you for that. That was very kind. Now, I'm going to get off the track a little bit for one show, and I want to talk about evil and the opposition of evil, because this is real, and this is something we as members of the body of Christ face every day. When I sat down on Monday to start up this show again, I know that Satan does not want the truth to go out. He's fine with the lies. No problem. He has no problem with organized Christianity, who puts forward the traditions of humans rather than the truth of God. And so it's always astounding to me, as you know, that Christians think they're being persecuted, when in fact, Satan himself has placed them to be on the fast track to spread lies about God and turns a majority of the world away from God because of the heinous God portrayed by the Christian religion, a God of eternal torment, a God who is running around the universe, putting out fires, trying to overcome what humans have done to his wonderful plan because he gave them all a free will. And so Satan likes that message. Oh, I'll tell you something else Satan likes. There are actually some people who don't think Satan is a real being. Some people in our camp, even. Now, I don't believe in giving Satan more credit than he deserves, but Satan loves it when people think he's not even real. Think how much damage he can do if you think he's not real. I'm going to tell you today the damage he can do, and I'm going to help you to combat it. So, when I started this show again on Monday, it's like I felt this giant hand opposing it. And it felt to me like something to be overcome. Evil is real. Satan is real. We do have an enemy. We do have an adversary. And it's important to know our enemy and to know our adversary. So the things that are happening in your life, the battles that you are waging, this is real. Satan wants to destroy your enthusiasm for truth. He wants to destroy your confidence in God. He wants to destroy the fact that God has chosen you. And I know many of you keep getting this idea that you're not worthy and that why are you seeing these truths? Why is God giving you this? And you are getting very down on yourselves. Now, I've taught for years, of course, that there is no one righteous, no, not one. Not one is seeking out God. This is a universal truth, and it's the prelude to the evangel. That's one thing. But once God has chosen us, once he tells us that he has justified us, pronounced us righteous in his sight, there's no longer any excuse. This is post-Calvary truth. There's no longer any excuse to like, why me? I'm so terrible. I'm such a terrible person. That's a given. God saved you in that capacity. God saved you as a sinner. And now that he has pronounced you justified, you have no business making this about you. And I'm not going to make this about me. I am not going to let, and we can potentially do this, we can let Satan have his way in our life. But I'm going to tell you how that can happen and how to prevent it. Paul does that very thing in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, oh, and I am going to get back to the 31 differences between the evangel of the circumcision and the uncircumcision. I'm going to review the first 4 points, the first 5 points, and then we're going to launch from there to get the rest of the points. There's 31. So whatever 31 minus 5 is, that's how many points we have left. And we're going to investigate them in detail. And it's going to give you more peace, more assurance than you've ever had. Now, I'm going to expose Satan right now. With the same breath I use to tell you that he's real, I'm going to tell you that the only thing he has left is lies. This is vital information. Ephesians 6, verse 10. For the rest, brethren, mine, be invigorated in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Be invigorated. Be animated. Be alive. I want you to be alive. I want you to live fearlessly. Now, we have to give ourselves pep talks. This is why, if you look at the scriptures, Paul writes a lot of words. Words, words, words. He's written 13 letters to us. Why? Because we constantly need to be reinvigorated. We constantly need to remind ourselves of what's true. We constantly need to remind ourselves that we have been declared to be righteous before him. And we need to constantly silence the lies of Satan. But the only way you can do that is if you acknowledge that Satan exists and he's a very real adversary and he hates us. He doesn't want us to continue on this course of being invigorated in the Lord and in the might of his strength, capital H, Jesus Christ's strength. He doesn't want that. He wants us to be discouraged. He wants us to be demoralized. He wants us to give up. Now, you know that I have my periods of depression, of feeling down, feeling gloomy. I need to talk myself out of these things. But even while I'm in them, I realize that not even this can separate me from the love of God. In other words, I don't give it that much strength. I don't see it as some cataclysmic mood I'm in that's now going to ruin everything. It's just a mood. It's just something I have to get through. It does not affect God's opinion of me. It does not. But Satan would capitalize on that. He would say, oh, Martin Zender, you're in a dark mood. You're in a dark place. I guess God doesn't like you anymore. You're in a dark place. I guess maybe you should give up your show. I guess maybe you should stop talking to the saints. Because who are you, Martin Zender, to be talking to the saints, to be teaching the truths? And I know you hear these same sorts of inner voices that are destructive. Paul says to be invigorated in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Put on the armor of God. I've taught on this before, but I feel the need to talk about it today. The armor of God. This is God's armor. This is not your armor. The armor of God. I've seen pictures for years, drawings, illustrations of Christians who are themselves covered in armor. But it's not your armor. It's God's armor. These are things. These are protective things that exist on your behalf. They only need to be acknowledged. In fact, put on, I'm going to get to it here, put on the armor of God. Put on is in the middle voice. It's not the active voice in the Greek. It's not like, take this and put it on yourself. It's not the passive voice either, where you kind of sit there and do nothing. It's coming to a realization, to a recognition of something that already exists that is operative from God on your behalf. It is not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh, but with the sovereignties, the authorities, the world mights of this darkness. This darkness. This is the darkness you're going through now. You're going through darkness now. We are in a world that is so dark. It's unreal, the amount of evil in the world today. And we're in it. We're in the maw of this thing. And it threatens to crush us. But we need to realize at this point that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. This is a constant presence. It's not like in the old days when the Spirit of God came and went on a person. That's how it was in the old days. The Spirit of God did not make its home in you in the old days. But today it dwells, it homes in us. God used to have a home. They called it the temple in Israel. But at the death of Christ, that veil separating humanity from the Holy of Holies, from the presence of God, was torn down. And now that presence of God, where's its home now? Its home is in the life of believers. His home is in you. And greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Just that alone, take that with you. Greater. So as great as the darkness is, as great as the powers are that array themselves against us, the power within us, and this is not a New Age teaching, oh, the power within you. No, this is something that has come from without. It's not something we generated. It's not something we keep going. It's something that exists in us. It's a reality. You don't feel it. Sometimes it's manifested in good feelings, but the good feelings, for instance, the strength I'm giving you today is a result of the presence of God in your life. Sometimes we feel that we have to, well, who's taught us this? I blame the Pentecostal church for teaching that unless you are at some pinnacle of enthusiasm, unless you're having a great day, the old Joel Osteen thing, every day's a Friday. No, Joel, every day's not a Friday. It's so simple, so ignorant, so juvenile, because it gives us the idea that unless you're in this wonderful place of light and happiness, then God is not smiling on your life. No, the presence of God, the presence of the Spirit of God in your life operates irrespective of your day, of your mood. It just is there. And again, this needs to be acknowledged because it exists whether you acknowledge it or not. It's still there. But for it to be practically operative takes an acknowledgement, a recognition of the truth. This is why Paul prayed for the saints in Ephesus, that they would continually come to a recognition and a realization of what God is, of what God has already done, of the armor that is now operative. Doesn't need you to click it in, doesn't need you to put it on, doesn't need you to gird up the loins and make it happen in your life. You need to realize that it's there, that it's real, and that it is effective in combating the lies of Satan. Tomorrow, I'm going to catalog for you, via Paul, in Ephesians 6, the lies of Satan and what God has given us, what exists now on our behalf to combat them.